Live from around the world, it's time for Peter Greenberg Worldwide with America's number one frontline travel news journalist. Get on the phone now and call 1-888-887-3837. That's 1-888-88-PETER. And now, the man who travels over 400,000 miles each year, the travel detective, Peter Greenberg.
And welcome aboard Peter Greenberg Worldwide on this June weekend. I hope you're having a wonderful time wherever you happen to be. I'm fighting my voice here because I've been living on airplanes, but that should surprise absolutely nobody. We were in Beijing 2 weeks ago. Last week, we were in Yellowstone. Today, 38 degrees, 53 minutes north, 77 degrees, 12 minutes west. We are in Washington, D.C., coming to you from the iconic Washington Hilton and taking your calls at 888-887-3837. That's 888-88-PETER. And if you can't get through on the phones, you know the drill. You can always email me to peter@petergreenberg.com with your name, phone number, question, or problem. We'll solve it right here on the air. Let me give you run some numbers for you here. It's a little scary. In the last decade, it's crazy. The airline industry has lost $50 billion. That's $11 billion last year alone. That's the bad news for the airlines. You want some bad news for you? This year, they're going to play catch-up. And in fact, they already are. Airfares are rising at unprecedented levels relative to where they've been. In some cases, airfares to places like London from the U.S. are up 42% over last year. And the airlines are, of course, charging for everything short of breathing. So all of this ancillary revenue is creating an additional revenue stream for them at your expense, so that the actual airfares they're even quoting aren't realistic when you actually try to figure out the total cost of your trip. Right now, this year, the airlines are actually expecting what they would call a sharp reversal. Aren't they the underestimating ones? And a $2.5 billion profit. Now, none of us listening to the show, I hope, would ever want to deny anybody the opportunity to make a profit, but not all in 1 year on us because of 10 years of really bad management and stupid decisions. So, you know the old line from Richard Branson, if you want to become a millionaire, open an airline with $1 billion and you will become a millionaire. It's really as simple as that. It's a very bad business model. It doesn't get better, and many of the airlines out there today, I'm sorry to say, their motto is, we're not happy until you're not happy. It's not a good place to be, and yet, we are all addicted to travel. Now, what's the word addiction mean? Well, it also means pain. It also means abuse, and we keep taking it. You know why? Because we love to travel, and I'm one of those people. Listen to my voice. Do I sound like I've been abused? No, I'm only kidding. I'm just losing the voice. I'll get it back. However, there is hope, and the hope is that as the economy rebounds and we continue to travel and continue to vote with our wallets, it won't just be about price anymore, it'll be about value. And we'll be talking about that a lot today. But first, let's go to our managing editor of petergreenberg.com. She's on the phone now from California, Sarika Shala. Hey, Sarika.
Hey, Peter. You need some tea and honey.
Well, I've been mainstreaming a little hot chocolate, but I'll let you know. So tell me what we got this week.
We got so much stuff. Father's Day is coming up, so our trusty Phil Baker, the gadget guy, rounded up some great gifts for Dad. And, you know, there's kind of the usual, good luggage, packing tips, even like a travel pillow that's good for Dad. But my first and foremost favorite of the year, and I never thought I'd say this, is the iPad.
Well, duh.
I'm not an iPerson. I've actually never owned anything that begins with I. But
well, I'm not one either, but I have to tell you something. I don't own a Kindle. I don't have an iPhone, I don't have an iPad. But the reason why I don't have a Kindle or an iPad is because I'm a print guy. And where's the print button?
Yeah, but it's also good for watching movies and downloading stuff and music, all that great stuff that you need to keep entertained on the road.
I know. But bottom line is, if we need to keep Dad occupied, I suppose that works.
And you can, I mean, the number, the volumes of books and newspapers, you'll get there, I promise. Give it like.
Actually, I must tell you something. I don't have an iPhone, but if I did have an iPhone, there's one app that I would have on the iPhone that is the most amazing. You know what it is. The most amazing thing ever invented, Shazam. That is the most amazing application I've ever seen. Where you hear a song, you know, I'll be shopping at a store and they'll have a music track going in there. Of course, nobody in the store knows what it is because it was provided by some outside company. And you really love the song, but you don't know what it is. You just hold the iPhone up to the speaker and 20 seconds later it tells you the name of the artist, the name of the song. It's the coolest thing going.
I could have used that in China a couple of weeks ago. I was at a restaurant where they played the same Kenny G song over and over and over again.
Wait a second. If they played the same Kenny G song over and over again, I would have become a barricaded suspect. I wouldn't need an iPad.
It was an experience, but I couldn't name the song, and that was frustrating.
You know, one of the things that's changed in China, so much so, I remember going back about 20 years ago, and I was at the Peace Hotel, which is originally called the Cathay Hotel in Shanghai, and next door was a little restaurant called the Peace Cafe. And I walked in, and I wasn't really aware for a minute as I ordered a BLT. And I sat there in the middle of Shanghai listening to Anita Baker.
Yeah.
And then I looked up, and the maitre d' was a guy who had a perm. And at the end he said, "Did you like your meal?" I said, "Yeah, I did." He said, "All right, see you later, alligator." I said, "Okay." He said, "No, you're supposed to say in a while, crocodile." I couldn't wait to get out of there. I mean, things are changing. So what else we got on the website?
Well, because summer's coming, or summer's here, actually, we're doing a full-on series of travel advice and tips for single parents. There's a lot of coverage for solo travelers and family travel, but not a lot of people really look into the idea of how can you get away with your children if you're a single parent.
And the other thing that's interesting to me about that is, in this series, we not only have how to travel as a single parent, but how to travel as a single parent when you're dating somebody.
Yeah, that's a whole other concept.
God, the dynamics of that could lead to total disaster.
Yeah, definitely. So we have a great bunch of tips going on. And, you know, a couple of my favorites are some of the old standbys, really. Just getting the kids involved with the process, not just saying, okay, we're going here. It's, you know, letting them help plan the schedule, help figure out, you know, where your gate is for the airport. Just sort of get them involved, and that way they're excited about it and not dragging their feet.
You know what? I totally agree. If you invest the kids, they'll have a stake in this, and they'll also have a feeling of experiential accomplishment once you do it.
Yep, exactly. Yep. And then, a couple other good tips are, you know, the medicine bag. You know, everyone thinks about bringing the emergency kit, but do you know what to put into it? And one of her tips is don't forget your own headache medication because you're going to need it.
One of whose tips?
Her name is Jumana Kidd. She's a writer who put together some great single-parent travel tips for us.
Oh, great. Well, we know Jumana. She's the ex-wife of Jason Kidd from the New Jersey Nets, who now plays, I think either Dallas or Arizona. But she's a single mom, and she knows what she's talking about.
She does know, yep. And then those tips about how to bring along your significant other. I mean, it's not just about spending time together as a family, but then also how do you get your alone time while the kids are busy doing something else? So we've got all that in the site and more.
And last but not least, I know this because we did this on the CBS Morning Show, the CBS Early Show, along with TripAdvisor. We have the 10 dirtiest hotels in America.
Yes, dirtiest hotels, and then also what you can do if you end up in a hotel.
Yes, those are my tips. So check that out on our website, petergreenberg.com. That's Sarah Kashala, our managing editor. And when we come back, we're going to be talking to a number of very interesting people, including, well, get ready for this, the CEO of the Indianapolis Zoo. That's right, not just the racetrack, they got a zoo. Back right after this.
The Peter Greenberg Worldwide phone lines are open now, so call us at 1-888-887-3837. That's 1-888-88-PETER. This segment of Peter Greenberg Worldwide is proudly brought to you by
GoRVing.com. Visit great destinations around the corner or across the country. With new RVs starting at just $5,000, memorable vacations have never been more affordable. To get started, visit GoRVing.com. Go affordably. Go RVing.
Now back to Peter Greenberg.
It's 18 minutes after the hour on this June weekend, coming to you from the Washington Hilton in Washington, D.C., taking your calls at 888-887-3837. That's 888-88-PETER. And if you can't get through on the phones, no problem whatsoever. You can always email me to peter@petergreenberg.com with your name, phone number, question, or problem. We will solve it right here on the air. And one other note about going to our website, I'll say it again, petergreenberg.com, is because we've got a comprehensive list there of all the aid and relief organizations working in Haiti, in Chile, in Western China, and now, of course, in America's Gulf Coast area with the oil spill. All the different organizations where you can actually get involved, not just donate money, but get involved with your own physical presence, your own level of expertise and intelligence, and a word that was coined earlier today that I will give total credit to my friend Lisa Cole for, not volunteer vacations, not volunteerism. Okay, she said it, I didn't, but I'm going to say it, voluntarism, because that's what's going on. Get down there and help out. Anyway, lots of stuff to go to. Let's go to an email from Jennifer in Boston. I'm hoping you can help with a problem we have. A whole bunch of us own timeshares in Aruba, and we're going down there to fly down there for the same time every year. We've been flying American Airlines Boston to Aruba direct for years, but this year they don't have any flights for January and February, and calling them gets you nowhere, and no one seems to know. Well, wait a second. American Airlines is not pulled out of Aruba. They're just not flying nonstop from Boston. They're flying from Miami, and that's what you're going to have to do. Keep in mind that what airlines are doing in cutting back service is they're looking at almost every leisure destination as a lost leader for them because it's not a high-yield destination. And when economies go into the toilet, Las Vegas is one area that gets cut back in service, Fort Lauderdale, Orlando, and a lot of the Caribbean, because it's not a heavily traveled, high-yield business traveler flight. It's all families, leisure travelers flying in the back of the plane. And the airlines then reallocate their aircraft to routes where they think they can make more money. That's why they've pulled back on it. But it doesn't mean you can't go. It just means you got to make one stop. And unfortunately, through my most unfavored airport in the United States, Miami, the last flight out of Saigon is that airport. So that's the answer. Cindy says, I'm a very shy person. I just bought the King Tut exhibit package deal from the Westin Hotel in Times Square. What is the proper etiquette for asking for some extras like upgrades? I'm staying one night. Well, first of all, you've just answered your own question. Why would the hotel give you any extras for staying just one night when you've never been there before and you probably never will be again? Not only that, if you're going to ask for the extras, you do it at the time you book the actual hotel. You basically say, hey, can my kids eat free? Can I park my car for free? If you're going to a ski resort, can my kids ski for free? Or can they eat for free there? You'd be surprised at what a lot of hotels are doing now, because occupancies are down because the amount of airline flights are down, which means even though every plane is full, the actual number of people flying to the number of destinations cannot fill those total number of hotel rooms. So that's what you got to do. From Anne in Seattle, I have a voucher for a week of free rental in the Canary Islands, Spain in August or September. I'm checking out airfares and they are quite pricey. Well, the reason why they're quite pricey is because it's only June now. They're not going to give you a deal in August, but they will give you a deal in September. September is the magic month. And I can't emphasize that enough. So bottom line is, check it out for September, but don't check it out now. Check it out 45 days out in the middle of July. Let's go right to the phones right now. Our guest, the CEO of the Indianapolis Zoo. Yes, it's more than just the racetrack. His name, Michael Crowther. Hey, Michael.
Hi, Peter. How are you?
You know, I am such a big fan of Indianapolis, and most of my friends just fly over it. They don't get it. You've got a great airport there now. You know it. They've really fixed it up nicely. You've got the racetrack, but now you've got something else. You know, I actually judge cities these days by their zoos. And I not just judge it by the zoos themselves, but by the programs they have at the zoos, where they have overnight sleepover dates for the kids. Sometimes even the parents get to go. I mean, there are a lot of must-sees when I go to a city, and zoos are one of them. So you're preaching to the converted today.
Glad to hear it.
So tell me about the Indianapolis Prize, because that's one of the reasons why I asked you to be on the show, because it's not just about the zoo, it's about the way you do it.
I think, Peter, that a lot of people don't realize that today an accredited zoo is all about conservation. It's not just about entertainment or education. In fact, they're pretty far down the list. We're very good at that. But what we're all about is ensuring that the world we turn over to our children and grandchildren is one that they choose to live in, as opposed to one that they're forced to endure. So what we try to do is use zoos as sort of a portal to the wild to help people increase their vision, to broaden their view of the world we're all living in. So what we have created is, and we're pretty much rated a top 10 zoo in the U.S. right now, what we're doing is creating exhibits that take people into the wild and where they can see the challenges. But we also are the administrator of the Indianapolis Prize, which is the world's leading award for animal conservation. It's sort of the Nobel Prize for conservation.
And so who gets this prize? I mean, what or who won it? Because this year it was about elephants, wasn't it?
Well, yeah. We use a jury and a nominating committee of the top people in the world, like the president of the World Wildlife Fund, and folks of that level choose the winner. And this year, it was a man by the name of Dr. Ian Douglas Hamilton. Now, Ian is sort of like a real-life Harrison Ford, well, a real-life Indiana Jones, because here's a guy with a PhD. He's one of the smartest guys that you'll ever come across. And yet he spends his time flying around in tiny airplanes, getting shot at by poachers, speared by rhinos, and stomped by elephants, all in the cause of trying to save them for the future. And he's very, very good at that. So the jury selected him as this year's winner, and they get $100,000 and the Lilly Medal and a lot of nice things. Because if it weren't for him, elephants in Africa particularly would be really on the edge. They face some really bad times in the 70s and 80s, and Ian was the guy who made the biggest difference.
And this is a personal question. I mean, this man has a personal relationship with these animals.
Yeah, he was the first guy to discover, for example, that elephant herds are matriarchal, that the big females are in charge. And there's nothing more important to him than just being able to spend time among the elephants. And he's learned how to communicate with them. He knows them by sight. He knows hundreds of them by name. And he doesn't just study them. He loves them.
Well, you know how I discovered that elephant herds are matriarchal?
I don't want to know.
I'm going to tell you. I was in Botswana, and I got between a baby and a mother. Whoops.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, I couldn't run fast enough.
Yeah, and there's very many people also don't know the level of intelligence of elephants. I mean, these have the kind of intelligence that most people think only primates have.
Oh, listen, I'm going to tell you a story. We did this with the New Orleans Zoo. We did it on CBS earlier this year. I went out and bought the top 7 selling brands of luggage in America. And then you saw me in a room. You didn't know what I was doing. You didn't know where I was. And you saw me open each bag. And in each bag, I put a cantaloupe, a honeydew, and a pineapple. I then closed the bag, and then we had a timer, and one by one, I walked into the elephant cage at the New Orleans Zoo during feeding time. Oh, my God. To see how these elephants were so smart, they would do anything to get into these bags. We wanted to see which bag would last the longest. Amazing.
And, Peter, a lot of their intelligence is based around their social lives. They're amongst the most intensely social animals that you could possibly imagine. So they have all these complex relationships between each other. One of the things that we try to do very much in the zoo field now is ensure that elephants have strong social groupings. And if they don't, then they need to get out of the elephant business.
I agree. And, of course, you've got your elephants right there at the Indianapolis Zoo.
Yeah, we do, and we have some very complex animals, and we provide them with some very enriching environments.
So they have a reading list?
Yeah, but they hand it to us as opposed to us handing it to them.
Hey, do you have a sleepover deal for the kids?
Yeah, we do. We've got sleepovers, and we do elephant paintings, too, where people can go and have the elephants paint something for them, and they all have their individual styles. It's they don't paint the same as each other.
So you have the Impressionist period and the Modern period, and I understand.
But again, what we try to do here, and what so many other institutions are doing, is trying to give people an eye as to what is going on out there. For example, we've got a brand new, very large cheetah habitat this year, but it tells the story of Dr. Laurie Marker, who is another
Michael, I've got to cut you off on that one. I've got to cut you off on that one, but the key is the Indianapolis Zoo is a must-see destination. Check out the elephants and, of course, their elephant reading list. I'm kidding, but seriously, check it out. We'll be right back.
To participate in the program and speak with Peter Greenberg, call 1-888-887-3837 or visit petergreenberg.com. This segment of Peter Greenberg Worldwide is proudly brought to you by
Avis. Avis, we try harder.
Now back to Peter Greenberg.
33 minutes after the hour, coming to you from the Washington Hilton in Washington, D.C. You know, earlier in the show, we were talking to Ed Henry, the senior White House correspondent for CNN, and reminiscing about how much fun it was for me to be honored to be able to fly on Air Force One and with the president. Well, what else do I have in common with just about every American president? They've all eaten here at the Washington Hilton. And whether it's the White House Correspondents' Dinner or other big functions, especially during the inauguration festivities every 4 years, they all come here. It's a hotel that's got more than 1,000 rooms, but then you've got to make dinner for more than 1,000 people. And joining me now, the executive chef of the Washington Hilton, Andre Coty.
Hi, Peter. How are you?
So how do you cook for 1,000 people? And don't say very carefully.
It's all about timing. What happens is you don't control any of the time when you're dealing with the president and all those agencies that have initials that we're not supposed to talk about.
Sure, but they all come here to eat.
Correct.
Now, is it true that they have food tasters?
They do.
They actually come in the kitchen and say this is okay for him to eat?
Yes.
Anybody ever keel over?
Not yet.
Okay, good, just checking.
Knock on wood.
Okay, but is there a dish that you're not allowed to prepare? Is there such a thing as a dish that you can never prepare for a head of state or a president?
No. Every president has their
own. The exploding souffle, perhaps.
Well, we won't talk about
okay,
that.
Okay, fine.
Every president has their own diet restrictions. So President Bush had his own diet restrictions.
Like what? What could he not eat?
They had fruit for dessert.
That was his entire diet restriction? So first he choked on the pretzel, and then he had the fruit for dessert?
Right.
Okay. And what about Obama? Come on, he's doing pulled pork, he's doing burgers, come on.
He loves everything.
Yeah.
And Mrs. Obama as well.
But she tries to keep him on a diet.
She tries.
When you have a visiting head of state, sometimes you have to bring in some expert helper.
Yes.
Because there's stuff that they want to eat that maybe you've never made before.
Correct.
Like?
Well, you know, Indian food. For instance, although we prepare Indian food, we may not prepare it exactly the way they would in their culture. So we bring somebody in from outside to assist us.
What's the most difficult dish you've had to do for either a president or a head of state?
Well, I think it was the inaugural ball. Because timing's such an issue and his time is so restricted. And at the same time that was going on, we're being filmed by the Rachel Ray Show. So everything.
Well, that'll set everything off.
It did. It gave me no place to go and cuss.
You know, it's one thing if you're a convention hotel and you got to do so many plates at so many times, but then you add to that mix a presidential timetable. How do you do it?
Well, then that's the tough part, because what ended up happening that night of the inauguration was they came and said that they were going to be 40 minutes late,
and then how much notice did they tell you?
That was 15 minutes before the function started.
Whoops. Whoops.
And then once we got into that 40 minutes, then it was, we want to go 20 minutes early. And then it was 10 minutes into that, we want to go 20 minutes late.
So basically, if they just never showed up at all, you would have been fine.
Yeah.
Sort of like a bad bar mitzvah. So what did you serve?
Well, we ended up cream of onion bisque and croup. We ended up with sliced tenderloin, and I'm trying to think of the dessert.
Well, that's okay. Let's talk about the first two dishes. The onion soup can't be too cold.
No.
Right? Because it'll harden.
That was a challenge to keep warm.
Yeah.
Because once the souffle, once the puff pastry on top finishes cooking, it's tough to undo.
Right. You pull the pin, you throw in the grenade. It is what it is. And the tenderloin, there's only so much time you can before it gets too dry.
And then it becomes well done. And
so did you coat it with a mystery sauce to kind of hide it? Come on.
No, we don't have mystery sauces.
Did you coat it with any sauce to hide
it? Yes, we did.
I gotcha. Okay. Because you got to maintain that moisture.
Yes.
All right. Now, you got 1,070 rooms here. How often do you change the menu?
Twice a year, sometimes four times a year, depending on how the guests are perceiving the menu. The menu that's in place now was just changed.
Now, everyone wants to eat healthy. Is there one item that you thought was going to be great on the menu that nobody ordered, or an item you thought nobody's going to buy this, and they're buying it like it's out of style and tomorrow?
Well, the crab mac and cheese is probably the biggest.
I saw that on the menu today, and I said, I'm going to not do that because I knew it would be dangerous. But I'm sure it's great. How many different cheeses do you use?
Five.
Oh, okay, that's it. Now you tell me. And what's the one item that you thought would sell that didn't?
Mussels.
Really?
Yeah.
Is it still on the menu?
No. That was one of those menu changes.
Okay, we 86 the mussels. Okay. What's the one menu, the item that people keep asking for that you don't have on the menu? Or the one item in room service. Look, you got 1,000 rooms here, mm-hmm. right? That's a challenge just to get everything up to the room in 20 minutes.
We took the turkey club off the menu.
Why?
Because we wanted to try and be different. And we ended up putting it back on because of all the phone calls that Steve received.
So everybody now they get the turkey club is back.
Turkey club's back.
So if you really want to be dangerous, you order the turkey club with a side of the 5-cheese mac and cheese.
Oh, there you go.
Oh, love it. All right. Andre Cote, the executive chef from the Washington Hilton. Thanks for joining us, man.
Thank you, Peter.
Can I get some mac cheese later?
I'll put aside.
You promise?
I will.
Okay. Even if I tell you it'll be 40 minutes late?
That's okay.
Okay. All right. Thanks, man. When we come back, we're going to go traveling with the author of The Female Nomad and Friends, Tales of Breaking Free and Breaking Bread Around the World. Some pretty wild adventures when we come back to the Washington Hilton. Peter Greenberg back right after this.
Call now to talk to Peter Greenberg at 1-888-887-3837 or email him at peter@petergreenberg.com. This segment of Peter Greenberg Worldwide is proudly brought to you by
Continental Airlines. With over 260 destinations in more than 50 countries, Continental makes it easy to create your own worldwide tour. Continental Airlines. Work hard. Fly right.
Now back to Peter Greenberg.
43 minutes after the hour, Peter Greenberg here with you from the Washington Hilton and taking your calls at 888-887-3837. That's 888-88-PETER. What's your definition of a nomad? Well, in my book, it's somebody who has no permanent address, no possessions except the ones they're wearing or carrying, and they have no idea where they're going to be, where they're going, or where they're going to be tomorrow. Well, my next guest fits that definition. In fact, she wrote a book about it. It's called Female Nomad and Friends, Tales of Breaking Free and Breaking Bread Around the World, and she did all of that. Her name, Rita Golden-Gelman. I want to just say that name three times fast. Rita Golden-Gelman. Hey, Rita.
Hi, Peter. How are you?
So what happened? You just got up one day and said, I'm leaving?
It was a divorce. And I said to myself, what are you going to do with the rest of your life? And the answer was, you're going to live your dream.
So as long as you were dumping the husband, you were going to take off and go out of town?
Absolutely. And everybody kept saying, oh, my God, she's running away. And
you were.
Addictive. I love it.
But you were running away, weren't you?
I was running toward.
Ah.
Adventure, excitement, learning.
And how long did you do this for?
Well, 23 years at this point. And so it's not a past tense.
So the witness protection program is working for you?
It sure is.
Wow. Now, how did you support yourself, or was it a really good divorce?
No, I had no alimony. Before I took off, I had been writing children's books for many years, and I have, at this point, about 70 of them. At that point, there were probably about 50.
Hold on a second, Rita. Rita, wait a minute. Did you just say 70?
Yeah.
Wow.
They're short, Peter. 32 pages. You can write a lot.
Well, for those of us with a limited attention span, I'm in. Okay.
I was able to write more children's books on the road. I couldn't write. My first book was called Tales of a Female Nomad, and I couldn't write that on the road because it just was too long and too much concentration. But the kids' books I could write, and I supported myself doing it.
Okay, so now I have to ask the question. You went all over the world. How many different countries?
Oh, I didn't count. No, I just go. I don't count.
That's okay. But now I have to ask the question. Here you were, recently single, divorced, running around the world. Did you meet the man of your dreams?
I wasn't looking.
That's not what I asked.
I met. No, I didn't. I met a lot of men that were nice. A lot of men I spent some time with, but no man of my dreams.
So are there still men at airports around the world going, where's Rita?
Very likely.
Very likely.
Did you read the story on the airport?
You know what? Tell me more. Tell me more.
There were two stories that I've written in this Female Nomad and Friends, and I have about 7 stories in the book, but there are over 50 from 41 different authors. But my airport stories, one is about sitting on a plane going from just across the United States, from New York to California, and some guy sits next to me, and we start talking and talking and talking. Before the plane even left, we knew more about each other than our spouses ever did.
Well, wait a minute. Based on the airline, you could have been on the plane for 5 hours on the ground.
This was a long time ago. Even at that point, they were even serving meals. And at a certain point, the meal was served, the lights went out, and he turned to me and he said, I don't want to stop talking, but can I hold your hand while we talk?
Oh, and I'm liking this. I'm liking this.
My first reaction was, oh, my God, how could I? And my second one, how could he violate my hand? And for the next 3 hours, he literally made love to my hand. It was incredible. All these little kids running up and down the aisles and the pregnant women going to the toilets and so on and so forth. And this guy was sitting there. He never touched me above my wrist. It was the sexiest thing that has ever happened.
You know, I've had dates where they never touched me above the wrist either, and I'm still regretting that. But forgetting that, where is he today?
I do not know. But I did see him once more, and I won't even talk about that here. You know, let them read the book to find out the last sentence.
He's probably sitting in 5B with his hand somewhere else. Just a thought.
Could be. The other airline thing was I got to be really friendly with this guy. I was in Bali, and we chatted and we talked, and he was full of chains and piercings and all. He was, his hair was down to his waist, but he was in his late 40s or 50.
Rita, stop right there because we're out of time, but you know what? You got my attention just with the hand-holding guy. The name of the book, Female Nomad and Friends, Tales of Breaking Free and Breaking Bread Around the World, with a subtitle of, is that your hand on my wrist or you're just happy to see me? Rita Golden-Gelman is the author. Rita, thanks for joining us, and we'll be back with more of Peter Greenberg Worldwide from the Washington Hilton right after this.
The Peter Greenberg Worldwide phone lines are open now, so call us at 1-888-88-PETER. That's 1-888-887-3837. To participate in the program and speak with Peter Greenberg, call 1-888-887-3837 or visit petergreenberg.com. Now back to Peter Greenberg Worldwide.
52 minutes after the hour, coming to you from the Washington Hilton in Washington, D.C., Peter Greenberg here with you. And this is a segment of the show I love because it's really off the brochure. It's all about asking the locals. It's about stuff that's, if it's in the brochure, I don't really want to know about it. And my next guest knows all about that kind of stuff because she's the founder of Pamela's Punch, a great website for people who live in Washington who think they know all the answers but don't. And her name, of course, Pamela Sorensen. Hey, Pamela.
Hello, Peter.
How you doing?
I'm great.
How did you start Pamela's Punch?
Actually, it was about, going on 4 years ago. And I was really super busy going to all these different charity events and fundraising events and community events and fashion shows and all this other great stuff.
Oh, what a tough life.
It was. But I did have a day job.
All the fashion choices you had to make. And what was the day job?
I was working as executive vice president of corporate development for a nonprofit organization.
So this became a passion of yours.
It really did. And basically what happened was I was spending half my time sending out information going, hey, you got to go to this, you got to be by this table, you got to buy these tickets, you got to attend this event. And then the other half of my time I was spending going, this is what happened, and doing recaps and sending photos. And I thought, you know what, if I had one place where I could put all this information and write it in a way that everybody could enjoy it, that would be perfect. So I started a blog.
All right. So other than charity events and the big social events of the day, week, or month.
Right.
What do you like to do that's not on the beaten path?
What is not on the beaten path? Okay. Well, there's something that
Come on.
I can't believe I'm sharing this. There's a little spot that I happen to love, and it's right on Constitution Avenue, and it is a place that you can kind of go and just have a little serene talk with yourself if you all are with friends, and it's the Albert Einstein statue. It's the bronze statue.
I talked about that earlier in the show. People didn't even know it exists. Yeah. And the reason why they don't know it exists is because for a long period of time, there was a tree that covered it,
yeah,
and then the tree came down.
Right,
so
right.
Now, very cool. Okay, I'm with you on that one.
Yeah, and so it's really cool because he's holding three formulas, and there's also three quotes that are really, really very compelling.
No, he's holding three formulas and a latte.
Yeah, this is the new version.
Okay, keep going. I like that one.
Yeah. Also, there's another place that's kind of off the beaten path where you can go biking and kind of end up there. It's called Old Angler's Inn, and it's really beautiful. It's actually on the Maryland side of Potomac, or Maryland side of the Potomac River.
So how long a bike ride is that? More or less.
Several miles. All right. And also the towpath is along the Potomac River as well.
Yeah. So by the time you get there, you know, you want a drink.
Of course, absolutely. Of course. And then you just have to make sure that you get back safe, not drive or ride drunk on your bicycle.
I'm a designated biker. I got no problems there.
Exactly.
Okay,
exactly.
What else is there something that's in the brochure that's probably right in front of us right here at the Hilton that we don't even know about?
Right here in front of the Hilton?
I mean, in like a walking distance from this hotel.
Walking distance from this hotel. Okay, well, you know what? I actually have to talk about this because I'm a walker. I'm a ped. I got rid of my car years ago. So everywhere I go, I just walk and walk and walk and walk and walk. And one of my favorite places to go is really right by the Washington, or actually right by the White House, is the Sofitel, because right now they're doing something really cool called Fashion Stills. And they have, from Paris, so it's basically Paris in Washington, they have this really cool photo exhibit that is from a gallery in Paris. And you just sit outside, you have some champagne, you walk inside, you look at all these really cool photos, and then it's like being in Paris and Washington.
So basically, if I'm going down the list here, everything that you do does involve some form of drinking, I'm thinking.
Oh my God! Yeah, thank you for bringing that to my attention.
I mean, there's a pattern here. I just had to figure it out.
Champagne, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Favorite.
What about eating?
Eating. Okay. Well.
And don't say Cafe Milano.
I have been seen there a couple of times.
Me too.
Before. Yeah, but you know, there's in Washington, there's some really cool up and coming emerging spaces and places and neighborhoods, kind of like the U Street, 14th Street, P Street corridor. There's a new place called Noma, north of Massachusetts. It's really cool. Capitol Hill, there's tons of new kind of bars and bistros. And
I'm in love with this Indian restaurant called Rasika.
Oh, yes, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I had dinner last night at The Source,
mm-hmm,
which was pretty good.
Wolfgang Puck's place. Yeah.
Very nice presentations on some stuff, but right. I'm telling you, Rasika takes the cake.
Yeah, actually, the owner of Rasika has a bunch of other restaurants that are very ethnic focused that are just fantastic.
They have a thing there with spinach. I can't even explain it. It's like a crispy spinach dish. I'll move in.
I'm a vegetarian, so I'm going to have to try that.
Yeah, I'll tell you about that. I'm a pescatarian, so I'll have the salmon. And the tandoori salmon there is to die for. Do you eat fish at all?
Sort of do, but actually now that what's going on with the oil spills, probably won't anymore.
Well, it's Atlantic salmon. It's okay.
Yeah, well, you know, what goes into the ocean, all the spoils of what we create on the land goes into the ocean, so.
Man, you're hurting me. I thought it was pretty good that not eating meat.
Yeah, but I do eat some salmon. I do.
Okay.
Yeah.
But it's salmon that speaks a foreign language?
Yeah, Scottish salmon.
Icelandic salmon.
Icelandic.
That's right. The best salmon ever.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And who makes the best chocolate? Don't say the Swiss. You'll be wrong. The Belgians.
Oh, okay. I was going to say the people in San Francisco.
No. No. What you want there is the farm-raised chocolate.
Yes, right. Organic and sustainable.
That's right. So, bottom line is, we'll keep going.
No, I was going to say, actually, along those lines, I wanted to bring up to you the Farm Fresh market that we have every Thursday.
Cool, and you just did, but you know what that music means? We're done, baby.
Ciao.
All right, Pamela Sorensen, check it out. Pamela's Punch. Is it pamelaspunch.com?
It is.
Good deal. That music means we're out of time for the show. Got to thank Jeff Ryder working the boards, Wayne, David, Jessica Soberman, Shelley Goncharowski, Kieran Donahue, and of course, Lisa Cole and the staff of the Washington Hilton. Thanks, everybody. We will see you next week from another undisclosed location, but check out the website to help out those people in the Gulf.
You've been listening to Peter Greenberg Worldwide. Visit our website at www.petergreenberg.com.